Doing tonight? Good. Well, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. I've entitled tonight's message, To Follow Christ. Now, sometimes we have the mentality that following Christ is easy. Who believes that following Christ is easy? All right. Tonight you're going to learn something, dude. You're going to learn that following Christ is a little more difficult than we would assume. Verse 34 of Mark chapter 8. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's pray. God, I come before you tonight. And I thank you for loving us. God, I pray tonight that eyes would be opened. God, I pray that your message would be taught. God, that we would truly learn what it means to follow after you. God, that you would give us a passion and that you would stir in us a want to follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I can't imagine the goosebumps that would have ran up and down my arms when Jesus called his disciples together, and when Jesus called the crowd together, and when he said these words, "If any of you want to be my follower." Can you imagine sitting there in the crowd? Jesus gets up there and he says, "If any of you wants to be my follower," he's going to tell me, and he's going to tell you exactly in this chapter how to follow him. The word follower and the word Jesus used when he said this in the Hebrew meant to reach in the same, to be in the same way, or to reach after. So what Jesus said in the Hebrew when he told this to his disciples in the crowd, he said, if any of you want to be in the same way I'm going, then there's some stuff you got to take care of. If any of you want to reach after me, then there's some stuff you got to take care of. Let's look at that, those things that we have to take care of first. Number one, turn from your selfish ways. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must, one, turn from your selfish ways. Jobster.com recently did this study. If we gave you $50 million, was the question, what would you do with it? Here are some responses. I'd buy me a house. I'd buy me a car. I'd set up a retirement plan for myself. I'd take a trip around the world. And this one startled me. He said, I would start looking for ways to double it. $50 million, and this guy is trying to find out ways to double it. Now, our society is pretty selfish. Our society is always screaming those words, me, me, me. I mean, we look at television, we look at books, we look at magazines, we look at billboards, and every single one of them is screaming those words, me, me, me. It's all about you, right? Don't we see that in our schools? It's your life, it's your choice. And that's the way, that's the world we live in. Webster defines selfish as this: concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, well-being without the regard for others. Others is a word that's not used in our vocabulary, not very often. When I was little, I read a book by Chuck Swindoll, and in it was a poem. It went like this: "Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others that I might live for thee. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Help me in all the things I do to ever be sincerely true, to know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I might live for thee." C.S. Lewis gave us the following insight, and I love it. He said this, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child, we go on making mud pies in the slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of the holiday of the sea, by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are so excited about the mud pies we're making in our backyard that when we hear of Disneyland or we hear of the beach, man, we can't even think about it because we're caught up in our selfish ways." And I love the way he put that. It kind of brought it to life for me. "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must, one, turn from your selfish ways. Number two, take up your cross." When I first read this, I was like, kind of looked around, and I was like, yeah, I don't really got one of those lying around the house. So I got on the internet, I was like, can you buy a cross? I mean, am I supposed to put this thing in my pocket every day? And a lot of times, when we read this verse, I've heard some pastors say, take up your burden. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. He said, take up your cross. What does the cross represent? Hands? Anybody know what the cross represents? Dude. Where God died. All right. Yeah, that we were horrible to him, that he died for our sins. Anyone else? Anyone else know the already? Forgiveness of sins. All right. Now, when Jesus was talking to his crowd, is he alive? He's alive, right? If he's talking to him, he hasn't died yet. This isn't when he's going to be ascending to heaven. This is before all that. So Jesus is saying, not, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must take up what I've done for you on the cross, because it hasn't happened yet. The cross in those days didn't mean the word burden or trial or forgiveness of sins. It meant pain. It meant humiliation. It meant shame. It meant death. So when he said, take up your cross, he wasn't saying, take up my sacrifice, take up my forgiveness. He was saying, take up that electric chair. Take up that hangman's noose. Take up that lethal injection. That's what he's saying. I want you, Christian, if you want to be my follower, to take up death. That's what he's saying. And when I read this, I won't lie, I nearly came to tears. God wants me to die? And in other versions of the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke, when Jesus said this, he said, take up your cross daily. God wants me to die every day? What does that mean, to die every day? Turn to John 10:18. I'm sorry, 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one else takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. This is Jesus saying, I lay down my life willingly in full knowledge of the pain of the shame that I'm going to experience on a cross, leading to death. So Jesus is saying, take up that electric chair. Take up that cross. Take up that hangman's noose. Galatians 2:20 said this, and I love the way Paul put it. He said, I have been crucified. I have died with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself with me. Can we say that about ourselves? Can we say what Paul said? I have died with Christ. Can we say that? Or are we still living for ourselves? Yeah, we're a Christian. Yeah, we've given our lives to Christ. But have we fully given it to him? Are we truly following and reaching after him like he commands us to? We have to daily put ourselves on the bottom of the priority list. While the world is screaming, me, 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 it's all about you. It's your choice. It's your life. We have to pick up that cross, that electric chair, that hangman's noose, that lethal injection, and we have to follow Christ. Number three, if any of you wants to come after me or be my follower, you must, one, turn from your selfish ways. Two, take up your cross. And three, follow me. Write this down if you have a pen. And if not, just think about it for a second. When you're not following Jesus, you are resisting him. When you're not following Jesus, you, Christian, are resisting him. Webster gave a really good definition, or antonyms, opposites, for the word follow. They were to disobey or ignore. So you can plug those in that too. When you're not following Jesus, Christian, you are disobeying him. When you're not following, reaching after, laying down your life, daily putting yourself on the bottom of the priority list, you are ignoring him. Does that make sense? Is it all coming together? Are you examining your lives right now? Because, man, when I got to this point in my study, when I was looking through this, second time, man, nearly came to tears. Nearly came to tears because I can't say that about myself. I couldn't say that I daily let myself go to death, that I daily took that lethal injection, that electric chair, and that I followed him, and that I wasn't ignoring him. Christian, when you're not following Jesus, you're ignoring him. Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's what he said, guys. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus is the way, and if you're not following him, then you're ignoring him, and you're resisting him. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must, one, turn from your selfish ways. Two, take up your cross. Three, follow me. If you try to hang on to your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and the sake of the good news, you will find it. Have you really given your life to Christ? Yeah, there's one thing being a Christian, but have you fully consecrated? Have you fully said, God, I'm going to die every day for you? God, I'm going to put myself on that bottom of that priority list that I have, and I'm going to follow you with everything that I have. Have you really said it? Have you really made that your prayer? How far are you willing to go for the good news and for Jesus? When you're at school, are you a Christian? When with your friends and you're alone, are you a Christian? When you're sitting in front of that computer desk, are you really following Jesus? Someone calculated the typical lifespan of a 75-year-old person, and here's the estimate. I kind of like the way this went. We sleep approximately 23 years of our life away. We work 16 years. Man, that's a lot of work. We watch 8 years of TV by the time we die. We eat for 6 years. We go on vacations and have leisurely activities for 4.5 years. We're sick 4 years of our life. We spend 2 years of our lives dressing. I mean, for girls, it's going to be like 17. But guys, we spend 2 years of our life dressing. Toilet, 6 years. Now, this one shocked me. And I pray that when they calculate my life and the years I spent in it, that mine looks nothing like this. Devoting to God or religion, half a year. Half a year of our lives are we going to spend devoting as Christians. This is a Christian survey to God. Are you comfortable being a Christian? Because if you are, you're in the wrong place. Henry Arley said this, and it challenged me. Third time, nearly came to tears. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to the Holy Spirit. The world has yet to see what God will do with a young man or a young lady, middle school age, that is fully consecrated to him. D.L. Moody, the famous preacher, he heard these. He heard this quote, and this was his reply. And as I say it, I want you guys to make it your prayer. Think about it and make it your prayer. This is what he said. I will try my utmost to be that man. Wow. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man or a young woman who has fully and wholly given their lives to him and consecrated it. Can you make it your prayer tonight? I will try my utmost to be that person. Can we do that, guys? We're going to try our utmost to be the people, to be the youth group, to be the middle school age students in our schools who the world is going to see, and the world has yet to see, when we're truly, truly, truly dying to ourselves daily, putting away with our selfish ways, and reaching, following after Jesus. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, yet lose your own soul? Look at the world. What do they think is going to satisfy? Sex? Drugs? Money? Fame? Alcohol? Provocative clothing? A boyfriend? A girlfriend? And they strive for it. How many of you guys see kids at school or some of your friends who, some of the things I've named, they strive for it. They strive for that popularity, that common name. They strive for that guy that they like. Man, he's cute. Or they strive for that girl. Man, there's no way a girl should ever be that good looking. And they strive for it, right? Man, I have friends that do it and they're not saved. And that's the world. Guys, can I let you in on something? And I'm pretty sure you already know it. No person, no item, no thing you can possess, no feeling, no movie, no friend, no drug can satisfy. And we see the world and we see they move from one boyfriend, one girlfriend, one drug to the next because it didn't satisfy. It's a constant ladder they're climbing because they need to go farther and higher in their satisfaction. Can I tell you what's at the top of that ladder? Jesus. Man, I've talked to people who have been walking with the Lord for several years, and before they came a Christian, they told me, I was looking for something to satisfy. I went from drug to drug, from person to person, and I couldn't find anything to satisfy. And man, when I got to the top, it was Jesus. And they say, and this is what they say. They say, had I known that I could just go straight to the top, and I could just get the best satisfaction that'll never stop, and it was Jesus, I would have done it. Can you guys agree? Who here has really had satisfaction from Jesus? I mean, I have. I've tasted it. And man, if someone offered the opposite, if someone said, oh, here's drugs, here's sex, here's money, man, I'm going to say, none of that's going to satisfy. 5 years from now, that's not going to happen. That's not going to be there in my life. And that's not something I'm going to think about and dwell on. But Jesus is. What is worth more than your soul? I was looking on the internet, and I came across this website. And this website would give you a quote, a monetary money quote, on your soul. You fill out a survey about yourself, your kind of lifestyle to live, the people you hang out with, and they would give you a monetary quote on your soul, what it was worth. I was kind of surprised by it, and I wasn't even going to dare filling out a survey. But listen to the people who did fill out a survey. This is what one of them said. Selling my soul was the best thing I ever did. Not only do I have a whole load of money to spend, but I no longer have to worry about being nice to people, as no longer I have to worry about what happens to my soul when I die. Not only would they give you a quote on what your soul was worth to them and how you could sell your soul to them, but they would buy it from you. Mr. Yorkshire joined. This is what he said. Thank you so very much. I was told about this website, and I assumed it was a joke. I completed the questionnaire just to see what happened, just to get a quote, and forgotten about it until I received a written offer in the mail. Now, with the money I made, I am living a lifestyle that I only previously dreamt about. because I was constantly worried about my soul. What's your soul worth? Is it worth gaining popularity? Fame? Is it worth money? Is it worth sex? That boyfriend, that girlfriend? That lifestyle you live at school? Is it worth that? Is your soul really worth it? Newsflash, guys, it's not. It's not worth it. That road leads to hell. And this is the fourth time that as I was reading this scripture, man, came to tears. It finally hit me, man. Is my soul worth the things that I've named? Is my soul worth my pleasure here on earth? Is that what my soul's worth? I strive to believe that my soul is worth much, much more in the hands of God. Matthew 7:22-23 says this. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many, many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person. I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You who disobey God's laws. You who are doing the opposite of following me. If you're not following Jesus, you're what? Resisting him. If you're not following Jesus, you are disobeying him. If you're not following Jesus, you're rejecting him. And this is what he's going to say. I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Men who weren't truly following. Men who put on the mask. Boys and girls that came to Velocity and put on that show. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm following God. But when they left the doors, that wasn't the same story. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. When I first read this verse, man, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. And when I read, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person, I was bummed. I was like, man, there's so many people out there who really haven't really truly tasted God. They really haven't truly followed God. They're not reaching after him. They're not going in the same way as Jesus. But then I read on, and this is where the goosebumps kicked back in. It said, when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. When he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He's coming back. And that's it, guys. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? When you stand before Jesus, because the Bible clearly states that we're all going to answer to him for our actions, is he going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter? Or is he going to say, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. This is the fifth time. Man, broke down in tears again. God, why did you give me this passage to teach? God, why did you give me this verse in my quiet time today? Because it's true, and God wants us to know that. He's coming back. Revelation 19:11-16, I'm going to read it to you. You can write it down if you like. It says this. Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. For he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like a flaming fire. On his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except for himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juices flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. Are you guys ready? Man, when those clouds and that sky rolls back like a scroll, like the Bible says, are you going to be thinking, man, I get to stand before God and know that I was fully given my life to him, that I daily put myself to death, that I put away with my sinful ways, and I followed, I reached, I went in the same direction as Jesus Christ. Are you going to be like that? Are you going to say, man, where am I at in my life? Have I been putting on that mask? Yes, God forgives, guys, but you have to fully give your life to Christ. If any of you wants to be my followers, you must, one, turn from your selfish ways, two, take up your cross, and three, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. See if you guys catch this. This is what it says. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And verse 13, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Jesus is coming back, guys. And this verse, these four verses, these three verses, sum up that whole kind of stanza that we went over. And when I read this chapter, like I said earlier, man, I couldn't figure out why is God showing me this verse? And I thought, man, this is so sad. This is such a bummer. And it's convicting. And like I said, it brought me to tears. And then I realized this is still God's word. There's still hope in it. Because even when he tells us that he will be ashamed of us when he comes back, the end is he's coming back. Read Revelations, guys. We win. Kevin says it all the time. We win. Yeah, following Christ is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult to put yourself on the bottom of the priority list. It's going to be difficult to take up that cross, to daily put yourselves to death for Jesus' sake. It's going to be hard. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And it's going to be difficult to follow God. When the world is screaming, me, 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 it's all about you, it's your life, your choice, you have to say, no, I'm following Jesus. Can we say that about our lives today? I'll be honest, when I read this, I couldn't, but I had to pray to God saying, God, let me be that man, just like D.L. Moody prayed, let me be that man that the world has yet to see, a man that is fully consecrated to the Holy Spirit. Can we make that our prayer tonight? God, let us be that youth group. God, let us be that middle school youth group that the world has yet to see. Let us be that church, that family, that school that the world is yet to see fully consecrated to him. That's the prayer that I hope that you would pick up tonight. So if any of you wants to be God's follower, you must, one, do what? Turn from your selfish ways. Two, you must take up your what? What does the cross mean, guys? Death. We have to daily put ourselves to death. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must follow me. I asked my brother to put up the slides for me, and he put them together, and when he showed me to him, I kind of laughed, because I kind of talked about what would be following, and ducks kind of got up, and I thought, man, I hope this doesn't look too cheesy, and kind of does, but the thing is when you're little, and when you're Christians, and like the Bible says, we are little Christs, man, look, just like these ducks, we need to be following our leader, which is Jesus Christ. You are little Christ. You're like these little ducks, and you need to follow the big Christ. You guys get it? I mean, it sounds cheesy, right? But that came to my mind, and after I laughed, I really thought about it, and if we can make that our prayer, man, that God, we would follow you. God, that we would put horse blinders on, that we wouldn't look right or left. God, that you would move almost every obstacle out of our way, that we can follow you. And like Webster said, we can reach after you. And like the Greek says, we can go in the same direction. Can we say that about our lives? Now, I don't want you guys to be bummed out. I don't want you to be like, oh man, I don't know if I'm fully consecrated. I don't know if that's me that he's talking about. I want you guys to know that Jesus is coming back, and if you're a Christian, who's excited about Jesus coming back? Isn't it exciting? Doesn't it give you goosebumps when you think about it? Man, sometimes I'll lie awake at night, and I'll look staring at my ceiling, and I mean, other than the little things that I can make out on the ceiling. You ever done that? Like the clouds, you know? Anyway, other than that, I'll think, man, what if God came back right now? The Bible says, like a thief in the night, he's coming back. What if God came back? And I'll think about it, and it'll give me goosebumps. I'll get the chills. And so what I want you guys to leave tonight is with hope. Not that when Jesus comes back, am I going to be the one he says, depart from me? Am I going to be the one he says, get away from me, you who disobey, you who rejected Jesus by not following him? Or am I going to be the one who says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter? Let's pray. God, I come before you. God, I thank you for giving me these words. God, I pray that tonight these words were spoken in a way that is powerful. God, like you spoke to my heart, I pray that these students were spoken to. God, I pray that tonight you would make a passion in our lives to be fully consecrated to you. God, make us have a passion to try our utmost to be the young women and the young men who are fully consecrated. God, the ones the world is yet to see. God, I pray that we follow you. God, that it's not just an action or a mask. God, that we're truly reaching. We're putting ourselves to death. God, like you did on the cross. God, that we daily do that. And we put our selfish ways aside. And we put others first, Lord. Now with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed. Some of you in here tonight are sitting there, and when I said Jesus is coming back, the goosebumps came, but they weren't good. You had fear. And if you want to know 100% sure that when Jesus comes back, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter. And you want to put away your selfish ways, and you want to die daily for the sake of the gospel and for Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand. Cool, guys. If you guys want to keep your hands up for just a second, there are some of you in here tonight who said, I've given my life to Christ. I'm following him. I go to church. I read my Bible, I do my quiet times, but I'm not 100% fully consecrated to him. If tonight you feel like God's leading you to raise your hand, even though you've already done it before, and you want to rededicate your life, say, God, make my prayer to be the utmost person I can be, to be the man the world has yet to see. I want you to raise your hand too. I asked a buddy of mine, you can put your hands down, to to play a song. And it was a song that we were kind of talking about, like, what song could we sing that'll kind of match up with this message of be my follower? And he's going to sing it for us. But while he sings it, those of you who raised your hands and you want to know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, and those of you who raised your hands saying, I want to be that man, that young woman who is fully and wholly consecrated to Jesus Christ, I want to daily put myself to death, put away with my selfish ways, and reach after Jesus, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. I'm going to ask you in front of all these people who love you, just to come and walk up to the front and stand. And those of you who don't want to be right here in this area, you can move off to the side while the song is going. So I'm going to ask you guys to do that. And as he sings this song, make it your prayer. Make it your passion and say, God, stir in me a passion that the world can't explain. Help me be that young woman, that young man that the world has yet to see. Cool, guys.